I have made an executive decision to advance our or postpone our discussion of authentic self-defense, holistic self-defense, until next week, because I really want to read this Proudhon. I'm tired of apologizing to our very rich and gracious and courageous ancestors who provided this necessary wisdom. Lessons from Proudhon are Pierre-Joseph Proudhon readings. Continuing with chapter 5, quoting Proudhon, in all these cases, man is moved by an internal attraction towards his fellow, by a secret sympathy which causes him to love, congratulate, and condole, so that to resist this attraction, his will must struggle against his nature. But in these respects, there's no decided difference between man and the animals. With them, as long as the weakness of their young endears them to their mothers, in a word, associates them with their mothers, and I'm rereading what we read last week, the latter protect the former at the peril of their lives with a courage which reminds us of our heroes dying, and our new heroes will be living to challenge the global band of brigands who coalesced in the aftermath of the French Revolution. We will be living for our authentic freedom that only exists globally. Certain species, says Proudhon, unite for hunting purposes, seek each other, call each other. A poet would say, invite each other to share their prey. In danger, they aid, protect, and warn each other. The elephant knows how to help his companion out of the ditch into which the latter has fallen. Cows form a circle with their horns outward and their calves in the center in order to repel the attacks of wolves. Horses and pigs, on hearing a cry of distress from one of their number, rush to the spot whence it comes. What descriptions I might give of their marriages, the tenderness of the males toward the females, and the fidelity of their loves. Let us add, however, to be entirely just, that these touching demonstrations of society, fraternity, and love of neighbor do not prevent the animals from quarreling, fighting, and outrageously abusing one another while gaining their livelihood and showing their gallantry. The resemblance between them and ourselves is perfect. The social instinct in man and beast exists to a greater or less degree. Its nature is the same. Man has the greater need of association and employs it more. The animal seems better to endure isolation. In man, social needs are more imperative and complex. In the beast, they seem less intense, less diversified, less regretted. Society, in a word, aims, in the case of man, at the preservation of the race and the individual. With the animals, its object is more exclusively the preservation of the race. As yet, we have met with no claim which man can make for himself alone. The social instinct and the moral sense he shares with the brutes, and when he thinks to become godlike by a few acts of charity, justice, and devotion, he does not perceive that in so acting, he simply obeys an instinct wholly animal in nature. As we are good, loving, tender, just, so we are passionate, greedy, lewd, and vindictive. That is, we are like the beasts. Our higher virtues appear in the last analysis as blind, impulsive instincts. What subjects for canonization and apotheosis! There is, however, a difference between us two-handed bipeds and other living creatures. What is it? A student of philosophy would hasten to reply, this difference lies in the fact that we are conscious of our social faculty, while the animals are unconscious of theirs. In the fact that while we reflect and reason upon the operation of our social instinct, the animals do nothing of the kind. I, says Proudhon, will go farther. It is by our reflective and reasoning powers, with which we seem to be exclusively endowed, that we know that it is injurious first to others and then to ourselves to resist the social instinct which governs us and which we call justice. And my comment, 2,000 years previous to Proudhon's writing this, Plato attempted to overthrow this definition and replace it with service to the state. And yet, it lived on. Proudhon's, ours, the people's definition lived on until Plato's tribesmen, republic in hand, revitalized Plato's by seizing command of our world, using its tool, the economy. Continuing. It is our reason, says Proudhon, which teaches us that the selfish man, the robber, the murderer, in a word, the traitor to society, sins against nature and is guilty with respect to others and himself when he does wrong willfully. And my comment, this provides support to the argument we've been making in this space, that the mindset of rule, of power, of class leads to the atrophy of thought.